Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Giddy Aunt Comedy.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of my podcast, which is one of our woke folk interviews. This is a series of conversations where yours truly chews the fat with a bunch of namby-pamby lefty liberals. While you listen to this podcast, you may like to take a moment to think of me, lying on a Caribbean beach being oiled up by a naked Jennifer Acuri. I know that's what I'm thinking about, which is probably why Carrie's giving me funny looks and wondering why I've got a stiffy. But you can rest assured that I'm having a lovely break. All paid for by a Tory donor, of course. I just need to try and remember which one. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the interview. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my basement for a very special bonus episode of my podcast. And I must say, I'm very excited to have with me the host of the fantastic Party Political Podcast. Yes, it's the comedian, writer, and actor, the one and only Mr. Tienan Duyep. Hello, Tienan.
Hello, thank you.
Very welcome. Do come in and sit down. Shove those empty champagne bottles out of the way. Just ignore the used Johnnies. Sorry about the smell. Unlike us, new kids on the block. You're quite an old hand at this podcasting lark, aren't you? Do you want to start by just telling us a little bit about your own podcast and what you do?
Yeah, of course. And can I just say, I really like the gold wallpaper in here. It's really nice and it's just sort of glinting in the right way. I don't know where it's... John Lewis, maybe? Is that right?
Absolutely bloody not John Lewis. Fucking hell. No, none of that shite.
Sure, sorry.
No, Carrie chose it. I think, yeah, only about 200 £1,000, so pretty good value.
Sure, pretty reasonable. And I like that you've covered over all the ventilation shafts in these COVID times as well, and I think that's really really wise. Anyway, thank you for having me on the show. And I do the Partly Political Broadcast, which is comedy politics podcast that basically stops me screaming at people in the park about all the things that you've been up to. But it's been a fascinating few years making jokes and interviewing people about your government, because I think that what you've done is really positive in that before you were Prime Minister, I always thought, well, there's no way I could ever be in Parliament, I could never be in charge of the country. And now you're there, I sort of think actually anyone can, even probably like a potato or a cat or something.
I'd be sort of tempted to stop you there, old chap, because I'm fairly sure you didn't go to Eton. Am I wrong?
I didn't go to Eton. I have eaten things though. Does that count?
No, sorry. I mean, unfortunately, you've fallen at the first hurdle, old chap. But don't worry, I'm sure you'll be a MP for Maidenhead or some shitty constituency. So don't lose hope. Let's get down to some serious political questions. I'm also acutely aware that I think I call it the Party Political Podcast rather than the Partly Political Podcast. So my apologies. Where the fuck was I?
Oh, wow, an apology for Boris Johnson. That's a I'm really impressed.
Just say sorry and it all goes away. That's what I say after I come all the time. Where the fuck was I? Serious questions. Serious political questions, of course. Shag, Mario Boyd, Liz Truss, Priti Patel, and Whittacombe.
Oh my goodness, that's Shag, Marry, Avoid, Liz Truss, Priti Patel. I think, that's a really tricky one. I think, what a horrible choice. I think Avoid and Whittacombe, maybe, at all costs. Yeah,
if you'd like some help, I could tell you what I would do.
Well, yeah, in fact, you tell me what you can do, and then I'm going to, I'll give you my verdict.
Yeah, I definitely shag Priti Patel, yes. There's nothing more attractive than a woman being incredibly rude and violent, so that's a big tick for me. I'd probably have to avoid Anne Whittacombe and marry Liz Truss. I mean, just, you know, with all of her amazing financial abilities of accruing money, just imagine how incredible the wedding would be. So that's my take. I hope that helps.
No, that's very good. You see, yeah, I think I definitely still avoid Anne Whittacombe because I think just being anywhere near her would give me nightmares for a long, long time. I often think they should just put her in the Chamber of Horrors at Madame Tussauds, and they wouldn't need anything else in there. I think I would see. I would have gone for Shag Priti Patel, but I don't think she'd let anyone enter her without sort of being deported almost immediately. That would be my concern. That I wouldn't want to sort of go to Shagra and then find myself on a plane at midnight to some country that I've never been to before with absolutely no money. So I think for that sense, I'd at least marry her, because then that way I could get a visa and she'd have to let me in. And I guess I'd shag Liz Truss, but it is a shame because I think, like you say, marrying her, like, you'd have an incredible cheese selection at the wedding, at least. That would probably be quite good. But she's got to be good at shagging. She's into pork markets, isn't she? So, you know, maybe that's a plus.
And she loves horse racing. I mean, I've heard she goes like a real thoroughbred. But to be fair, against what you said about Priti Patel, I don't think the appeal is that that you enter her. I think the appeal is that she enters you. Anyway, right. I imagine you're one of those pesky Remainers who thought Brexit was a bad idea. I bet you're bloody woke and feeling pretty foolish now that Brexit has been such a fantastic success. So, tell me, how would you rate the success of Brexit on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is what we used to call Project Fear, and 10 is £350 million a week to the NHS.
I mean, so here's the thing: is my view on Brexit. I feel I should clarify this before I give you my rating. But I wasn't entirely against it. It's just that I didn't necessarily trust the people delivering it. With full respect or lack of it, and it's sort of like how I always felt it's a bit like if scientists invented a cure for like everything ever in the world, and you go, isn't this amazing? But then they handed that cure to an angry raven, and you'd be like, oh, can I have the cure? And they go, ah, like, can I have the cure now? Ah, can I have the cure? Ah, and it, you never got it. You know, that's how I sort of felt about Brexit. It could have potentially been a good thing, but it's not. You can't get sausages to Northern Ireland. How have we ended up in a sausage war? I mean, genuinely, the phrase not a sausage means you've got nothing, and we're now in that position. So anyway, I'm going to go for probably a -3. Is that allowed?
Crikey, I certainly was listening, but as soon as you started saying sausage war, I sort of drifted off thinking about child maintenance loans, and I was in a world of pain. But anyway, that is fair, and I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, you know, I personally, don't really care about Brexit either. You know, just whatever gets me power. I mean, hence the two articles, which I would really recommend. By the way, I would record two different episodes of your podcast, and then whichever one ends up playing better, just release that one. It works very well.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
Well, I don't tell anyone, but it's. It worked very well for me. So, who do you think, who would you say has benefited most from Brexit?
Probably Europe, because they don't have to deal with us anymore. And I think they've done really well. I mean, can you imagine Spain now? It's probably lovely to go on holiday there, isn't it? People eating actually Spanish food, people asking for things in Spanish. Oh, it must be an absolute joy. I think they've done really well, and I'm quite jealous of them, actually. So fair play to them. Nice work.
Well,
Lovely women as well. So, moving on, I just thought I would like to get your opinion on a few policy ideas I'm sort of throwing out.
Sure.
Well, which of these do you think would go down best with the great unwashed, the plebs? Number one, making it compulsory for ministers to wear Union Jack tops at all times. We should call them Union Jackets. Number two, having school children start their day by taking a pledge of allegiance to me. Number three, asking Lawrence Fox to compose a new national anthem and play him singing it before every news bulletin.
Wow, that's tough. I mean, my worry about children pledging allegiance to you is that a large number of them would just be sort of saluting their own dad, and that's going to be awkward for them. I think they might find that tricky. You know, children just across Britain having to sing a song to their own dad. It just feels a bit weird, and you don't want to put them in that position.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think the Lawrence Fox song, I have heard him sing before. It's not unlike that of a fox, actually. It's probably when he most resembles a fox, sort of sounding like two creatures are shagging / killing each other, but often with a sort of more miserable, why am I going through a divorce type tone. So I'm not too keen on that. I think the ministers wearing Union Jackets is absolutely brilliant, but I would suggest, Boris, if you don't mind, that I think it's not far enough, and I think that ministers should wear absolute head-to-toe Union Jack, everything. Probably the dress that Jerry Spice used to wear in the Spice Girls. Just always be dressed like that with a Union Jack hat, probably carrying a mechanical robot queen on their shoulders. Maybe always with a sort of slab of British beef or lamb across their arm. I feel like this kind of patriotism isn't going far enough. Maybe you could just be even more British if you tried really hard.
Maybe you could even take it even further. Save a bit of money as well. Just get a white bedsheet, sort of cut two eye holes out in all of them, and sort of wear those.
Yeah, I was going to say that the sort of white cloth isn't very British. You need at least a sort of like Red Cross over it. I feel like I'm worried about your patriotism standards, to be honest, Boris.
Well, I suppose so, but then by the same token, we did invent racism. So technically, the Americans just copied it from us.
That is
and
true.
And then we took it back.
I was going to say, I'm also worried about the state of your sheets. I mean, I don't know if anyone should be wearing them. They'd probably catch all sorts of Victorian illnesses. I'd be quite concerned.
Well, that's certainly true. I to be honest, I don't know if it would be a white sheet, probably more of a slightly yellowed, creamy, chalky sheet. But anyway, enough about what I get up to thinking about Priti Patel. So you may be aware that I once told friends that I need at least $300,000 a year to just get by. So the fact that I'm expected to manage on a measly $150,000 a year proves that I know what it's like to be poor, which I think is why ordinary people identify with me. Whereas you, Tiernan, you're obviously one of the metropolitan elites we keep hearing about. I mean, do you ever wish you could just leave your ivory tower and experience how ordinary people live?
All the time. I wish I could experience how ordinary people live. I've got absolutely no clue as I sort of sit here paying my rent and just wishing I could afford more crisps in my day. It's very hard, isn't it? I have got no idea what ordinary people do with their lives and their jobs. It must just be a whole different world. I mean, what's it like working? You do work, don't you, occasionally when you turn up for meetings?
I don't really work in the week. I occasionally sort of do a bit on the weekends. But, mostly walks and big dinners and women with lovely knockers. So, I mean, I can't really complain.
Yeah, it sounds hard, though.
It's jolly good stuff.
That's like a full-time job.
Well, it's not easy to cheat in the way that I do, but it is it's a wonderful thing. And let me say, regarding your rent situation, all you need to do is just get a rich friend to pay for you, and you'll be fine. So, do you ever regret the fact that your surname doesn't have the letter A in it? It just seems a shame, given that you've managed to cram all of the other vowels in, except the poor old A.
Yeah, no, I regret it all the time, but I've got an A in my first name, and so I sort of feel like that makes up for it. In some ways, it's you have to sort of work the two together as a kind of partnership. I mean, do you not find that sort of that, you know, you use different parts of your name for different things? Sometimes you're Boris, sometimes you're Alexander de Fiffle Johnson for when you're doing certain music. You know, you've got to work with what you got. And so the Duyeb, sometimes you meet people who don't like an A, and then they can just have the Duyeb. Sometimes they like an A, they have the tin as well. I think it's, you know, it's important to have that sort of versatility, isn't it, in names. I mean, it's like James Cleverly. He's got that versatility where people think because of his name he's clever, and he's not, and it totally throws them off. It's impressive.
I mean, you do have to try and manipulate that as best you can. In fact, you know, when I'm asking Carrie or a similar, you know, woman in her early 30s, to be intimate with me, I'll often say Bojo in a sort of hopeful way, in the hope that she'll have a good old suck of my Johnson. So, as you probably know, my great hero is Churchill, not least because I think we have a lot in common. I mean, I don't like foreign people, and I drink too much, so I think that's a pretty good start. I mean, the woke types get all worked up about some of our statues and try to rewrite our glorious history. In fact, I'm thinking of building more statues of slave traders now. I mean, surely you can't blame slave traders for being fortunate enough to be born when racism was still a good thing. Although, I mean, still a good thing today. I mean, these people were only trying to do the best for their families. I mean, they were trying to earn an honest crust by taking people captive and selling them into lives of servitude, misery, and death. I mean, who among us wouldn't do that if it made them disgustingly rich? I know I would, and I know Pretty Patel does. So what's your take on that whole situation, statue debate, Deanna?
It's a really good one. I also was going to say that you're quite a lot like Churchill, because I sort of sometimes you dog in cars, right? That's sort of, or is that the wrong Churchill? Oh, sorry.
Well, I certainly do that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I did think so. So yeah, my situation. Well, I mean, I'm curious with the statues thing, because there's a lot of grey areas, pun slightly intended, when it comes to statues, which, you know, if people are going to be sort of accused for attacking statues, where does that put pigeons? Are there going to be special Metropolitan Police forces who are going to have to go out and catch pigeons? Are they going to be given sort of the adequate nets or Wacky Races style cars? How does that come in? And also, I want to know where the line falls with living statues, those really annoying people in Covent Garden who pretend to be statues. Are they going to be the most protected living people or the least protected statues? I just think it's a bit tricky. But overall, I don't really care about statues, but I understand why it's such a big deal for the Conservative Party, to sort of have sympathies for things that are grey and dead inside. I can see that they really empathise with that. I do see that.
Also, the thing you've got to remember is that, for a lot of these people, we are all related to them, because most of the Conservative Party aristocracy and most of the aristocracy are inbred. So we are all ultimately related. So it'd be like pulling down a statue of your grandfather and your uncle and your dad all at once. Now, the only time I've taken the knee was when Carrie saw me looking at another woman and kneed me in the groin. I'm not a fan of gesture politics. I prefer solid, decisive action, like clapping your hands for the NHS rather than giving them a pay rise. So what do you think of people taking the knee? Is there any point? Surely not.
Is there any point in taking the knee? Yeah, I think there's loads of point in sort of making a gesture to support a cause that you believe in. I don't think it's Marxist, though. I think that's been one of the accusations against taking the knee. I think that Marxism would have been sort of fair and equal distribution based on need of the knee, not taking it. I think that's selfish and far more sort of capitalist, isn't it?
Well, what if you're taking the knee from the bourgeoisie, if you'll pardon the rhyme?
Well, it was a lovely rhyme, though. I mean, it's definitely, I'm quite impressed with that rapping, actually. In which case, then that's all good. I think I'm all for everyone taking all of the bourgeoisie's knees, however many as you please, and maybe then that sort of leave them unable to chase people as they reclaim all of the property, because property is theft, unlike herbal tea.
Well, good luck when they come after the bourgeoisie, you bloody liberal elite Islington flap white drinker, in all likelihood.
Well, anyway,
that's true, but that wouldn't be a problem for me. I'm just a good old every man, me and Farage, good old John Everyman's. So, do you sometimes regret having a political podcast now that there's so little happening in this country politically? I mean, you know, before too much longer, we hopefully won't even have elections. I mean, debate will be stifled and dissent will be outlawed. So, I mean, wouldn't you have been better off, I mean, you know, doing some... say, wouldn't you have been better off doing a podcast about vegan cooking or keeping hamsters or something?
I would have done. You're absolutely right. I really wish I'd chosen almost anything else to do with my life. It's a bane and a curse. But I continue doing it because otherwise I think I would have to accost people in the park and shout at them. I do too much swearing at the TV, and if I don't put that on a podcast, I'll probably have to break the TV and swear at other people's TVs. And so I feel like it's the only cathartic way for me to get it out. I mean, whereas I'd love to do a podcast about vegan cooking or hamsters, or potentially one about vegans cooking hamsters, which would be very controversial, I think. Yeah. Sorry, vegan. Yes. I apologise.
Well, that's certainly true. Although, to be fair, in my question, hamsters aren't necessarily distinct from politics, particularly if you're privy to some of the sex acts of the American senators. As a sort of final summary, would you rate my handling of the pandemic as A, excellent, B, very good, or C, outstanding?
I think it's very admirable that you've chosen to tackle the pandemic by just having a complete refusal to understand how germs work and hoping that it'll get bored and go away, and I respect that as a tactic, so I will go for F for fail.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't be surprised about that. I mean, especially given my attitude towards STDs, I mean, you know, that was never going to go well, but I think I've done pretty fine. I was just, there's Hancock's fault, isn't it? Anyway, final question, would you agree that a foreign aid money could be better spent at home? I mean, literally, my home. Sorry, I should clarify. I'm trying to get a golden toilet. That's not a euphemism for Carrie. Just a golden toilet. It still hasn't finished being paid for. Would that be better spent there?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because I suppose, yeah, I mean, if the money was, say, going to go to a rubbish bit of foreign aid, but then instead went to your toilet, I'd definitely say that's better. I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? Because you've sort of, like, cutting foreign aid to Yemen, but then, like, if all the Yemenis die of starvation, then the Saudi Arabians won't want to buy weapons off you to kill them with. So it just seems a bit of a stupid waste of your time, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, what's the point in selling their weapons if they're going to die from some other cause? It's just selfish, isn't it? So, I haven't thought it through. So, I mean, really, it depends. I mean, you could call the golden toilet like a... Could you refer to it as a different place? A different magical land, then technically it'd be foreign aid, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I quite potentially, or I could just do my impression of a Chinese person whilst I'm doing a shit. So, you know, I mean, that would work pretty well. But, you know, the thing I would say about the Middle East it's not really... I mean, it would only be our problem if we'd gone in there and fucked things up in the first place, which I'm pretty sure we didn't do. So I don't give a shit.
Wait, but you will give a shit if you get the golden toilet?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that very much is the plan. I think after this productive and robust chat, I will be redistributing the money. I mean, Carrie's in my fucking left ear all the fucking time, just, you know, saying, Boris, money spent £50,000 a day, it's been a light day. You know, so it's the thing, she's a Ferrari of a girl. You know, she's a Ferrari lady, and you've got, they cost a lot in upkeep. So that's what you have to do. So, thank you very much for your time. It's been truly wonderful spending some time with you. Is there anything you'd like to plug besides some of the lovely young interns you've seen on the way in?
Well, my partly political broadcast podcast, which if I don't do, I'll have to do one about vegans cooking hamsters. So I think if people could support that fairly quickly, that would be fantastic. And just all my other gigs and nonsense and my rantings on Twitter, my lots of jokes about you and about how getting a plane to Cornwall was like trying to, in order to promote being environmentally friendly, was a bit like trying to promote healthy eating by eating your way out of a sarcophagus made of Big Macs. You know, just comments like that. That's on at Tin and Do You on Twitter. So just follow me in all those places.
That sounds quite good. policy. It's better than eat out to help out, anyway. Great. Well, thank you for your time. Do take some champagne.
Oh,
there's a good sort of 20 bottles of Cristal you'll see on the way up the stairs. And if you would like a PPE contract, do send me a WhatsApp. But actually, we're not doing WhatsApp anymore. It's a fucking nightmare. So send me an email. They haven't worked out how to hack those yet. So thank you, Tiernan. And see you at the next Tory fundraiser, I imagine.
Thanks very much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview, and I trust that it left you in no doubt about how foolish left-wing views are. I imagine that it helps to confirm your support for my government and everything we stand for. If you wish to help make this podcast possible, you can do so via Patreon. You'll find a link to Patreon in the description of this episode or in my Twitter bio. Or you can search on Google for parody Boris Johnson Patreon. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye.